Hello and welcome. You are listening to the God and Mental Health Podcast. I am so excited because we are going to be doing an interview today and y'all are in for a treat. We are going to be interviewing my bestie, my boo, my girl. She actually was on the podcast a couple of years ago when I did the Entrepreneurs in Therapy series. So I will link that episode below. But welcome, welcome. I'm so excited to introduce her. Her name is Zanisha, better known as Z. So why don't you say, hey, introduce yourself to
the Hey, everybody. I'm super excited to be back to talk with my bestie, my soul sister, my girl. I don't even have the words to describe how much this woman means to me. I'm just really excited to be here. I'm excited about our talk today.
Yes, so my girl is now officially an author. You can add author to her title, period. Best-selling author.
Period.
It puts a respect on your name.
Oh.
Author.
Jesus.
Best-selling author. And I think y'all are going to hear about her amazing book called The Mental Gym. We'll definitely talk about that and get into that. But Z, let's kind of start. And you'll, of course, talk about yourself. But I want to do a quick icebreaker question. Tell us, what is God teaching you about him in this season?
I think that he is teaching me that he has a plan. Girl, sit down. I got it. I think that he is really showing me that he is the man with the plan. And while I'm trying to figure it out, he's already worked it out. Mm-hmm. And I think it's such a beautiful reminder. It's not that I don't know that, but I think that a lot of times I need that reminder. And in this season, I'm just learning that God is such a strategic, redeeming God. And it's like in seasons where you cannot trace his hand, you still have to trust his hand. Like you have to trust that even though I can't feel him, I know that he's working it out on my behalf behind the scenes. And I'm in the later on part where things really make sense. Ah, this is why this. Oh, okay. Now I see what you were doing there, Lord. So it's just a great season of just being surrounded by love. I wish I could testify and tell it all, girl. But it's just a great season of just understanding.
You will. Don't worry. You will.
Oh, it's just a great season where God is really showing me, like, girl, I got you. Don't you ever worry about that, daughter. You are my daughter.
I love that. And I'm glad that you are, you know, y'all don't know this from hearing me talk about this, but one thing I admire about Z is she is incredibly resilient. And I don't know if she would say that, but she is incredibly resilient. The amount of things I've witnessed personally and or her that she's experienced is people probably look at her and say, oh my gosh, she's so strong. And I would say, absolutely. And also just the ability to have so much resilience and honor God in that. I think you'll hear a little bit about her story, but her ability to be resilient and honor God through all of that is such a joy to witness and also a privilege to be able for her to model for other people.
Thank you, sis. You're so kind. So kind.
So let's get into it. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? What do you do? All of the things, many things you do. But why don't you just start with who you are and what you do?
Fantastic. So by trade, I am a makeup artist and I have been for more than 10 years. Recently, I retired and I feel like I'm like on a residency right now where I'm like coming back, jumping into makeup for a little while. And then I'm going to jump right back out because a girl's got to do what a girl's got to do. And I am also a beauty educator. So I teach Black women how to do their makeup with confidence at home. I teach them simplified methods so that they can feel confident applying their makeup. And in that, I have created an online makeup school called Beauty for Us University, where we serve women in a way that is broken down for them to understand how to apply their makeup for a flawless look. While doing that, though, I created another brand called Matter Brushes, and this is a customized makeup brush line for beginners. And it's for beginners because these brushes are numbered in the order in which you should use them, and they are labeled with the instructions. So you always have a cheat code in your makeup bag to help you along the way. So these brushes guide you to a flawless look. And now I can add that I am a new author. So after facing a tragic loss in my life, a lot of people were DMing me and on my inbox and messenger and was saying, oh my God, Z, you're so strong. How are you still standing? When they meet me, they're just incredibly inspired. And God just led me to package the tools that I've used in order to be who they see. He led me to package that inside of a book, and he gave me the title, The Mental Gym, really a while ago. I just applied that title to this book, but I can now add author to my title, which is fantastic. And beyond that, I always like to ground it and just say, I'm a believer. You cannot make me doubt him because I know too much about him. I am a true believer. And it is honestly one thing to say you believe when life is straight. Life may not be good, but life may be straight. And it's one thing to say that you believe when life is straight, but when life is crooked, I'm talking about a bumpy ride.
For real.
Oh, you add that to your title. Hey, I'm a believer. I need the people to know that I believe God. So that's just a little bit about me. I hope that was good.
That was great. And before we get into the book, let's take a quick break to hear about Matter Brushes, which is a sponsor for today's podcast.
Woo-hoo. Fantastic.
Okay. So, yes, you are a believer, sis. And I think that one of the things that I've learned over the last couple of years is we don't talk enough about the trials within the journey. And in real time, I think that you've shared a lot of things around this very traumatic thing that you recently experienced, which you can, of course, talk about, but also just how you're navigating through how you're dealing with it. And I think we always talk about the overcoming part or what we learned in the season, which the harvest and everything you get from it is great. But no one really talks about on the days where you like dragging and you can't get out of bed. You really want to go off on everybody. You don't want to talk to anyone.
Yeah. You're
really struggling to get support. Or if you do get support, you feel like it's only enough for the minute. You need the ongoing support and just how God comes in and floods you during that. And so for you, talk about what that has been like sharing very publicly in a way too, all of the things you've recently experienced.
Okay, so just for a little backstory, my fiance was tragically killed outside of his restaurant. At the time, our daughter was about to turn, she was 2 days shy of 4 months old. So my world changed quickly. My world was flipped upside down quickly because when you are in a relationship with someone that's your partner, you've created routine. And now that routine has been interrupted. And not only is it interrupted in that season from the loss, but now it's interrupted because you need so much care. So now you have so many people in your home. You have so many people bringing you food and cleaning your home and nursing you back to helping to nurse you as the adult back to a healthy place. On top of, as a new mom experiencing postpartum symptoms, postpartum side effects,
you were still breastfeeding. You were still moving.
I was still breastfeeding. You are right. I was definitely still breastfeeding. So that in itself was a very challenging season in my life. And I struggled with how to share that part of my journey publicly. But I wanted to share something because people were extremely supportive. People were very supportive in that they were sending prayers. They were sending donations. They wanted to become part of our village. And I just wanted to share as much as I could without oversharing because I am a private person. I am someone who likes to keep things that belong to me. I like to share enough so that people can understand the circumstance, but there are, I just have a thing about sharing once I've overcome. But that process of sharing is also a thoughtful process because my daughter has to see what I've shared at some point. My daughter has to go back. She doesn't have to, but one day she may want to. And I want her to see how mom navigated such a difficult space and place. I want her to see how mom handled her emotions, how she regulated herself. And sharing was also a part of educating because I had never experienced grief so close. And there are some things that you just don't want to hear when you're grieving. There are some things, and I thank God that I understand people, one, grieve differently, and two, people encourage differently. And I also believe when somebody's in that space and you want to share love, they don't know what to say to you, and you really don't know what to hear. You don't know what you want to hear. So I also use it as an opportunity to educate from my standpoint what it looked like. And part of it was in our Black community, we like to change our Facebook profile pictures to the person that we lost. Hey, that's triggering for me. Now, I can't tell the people what to do. I can get off Facebook and not see it. However, I did want to take a moment. And this is just an example. Take a moment to educate people about, hey, I know that this is how you grieve and I'm not telling you how to grieve. But sometimes that can be triggering because it looks like he's posting and I know he's not here. Mm-hmm. And so when that happens, people don't even realize that it affects the anybody that's like you. That. So I just wanted to take that opportunity to share and also just really be honest and transparent about what that thought process looks like and when pain hits, because it doesn't help anyone grow when you see all happy times.
Yeah. And I think
share that.
I think one of the things that, you know, as you have shared, we've seen such in real time, again, real time, the practices that you have implemented over the years that have served you now in this very challenging season. And I think that we, this is people, especially clients that I've served, like we oftentimes negate, like, why do I have to do this every single day? What is this going to do? How is this going to help me? Like, why do I need to go on a walk when I'm angry? Why do I need to make time for myself? Why do I need to do affirmations? Why do I need to do X, Y, Z? And not knowing you're healing, but you're also being preventative. So when
that's so good.
Yeah. So when things happen, you're able to actually work through it and prevent something that would be detrimental or really send you down. So let's go through that. Let's backtrack. Let's start from the beginning of this for you.
Yeah.
I consider you as someone that's like extremely talented in communicating and really a thought leader, in my opinion, of how to really communicate and understand the importance of working on yourself and your mind consistently, more from a personal level. Like, I think you navigated practically stewarding your mental health before it was a thing and also before you probably knew a name for it. And so where did this start? How have you cultivated that practice over time and kind of what was the conception of it? And we can go from there.
And this is a fantastic question. I love to answer this, especially with you, because it started with you. You were the first person that I'm so serious. And it's amazing that the name of the podcast is God Plus Mental Health, because you were the first person that introduced me to marrying the two together. In my household, therapy was taboo. So it wasn't an option. It wasn't a resource. And so once we started building our friendship and our sisterhood, it was during your Bible study when I really wanted to understand God's heart for me. And I also got myself into therapy. And in therapy, thank you, Jesus, for an amazing experience where I learned tools for my toolbox. And a part of those tools was gratitude. A part of those tools, it was self-care and redefining what that meant. A part of those tools were anchoring, what anchors me, learning grounding techniques such as breathing techniques. Those are some of the tools that my therapist equipped me with and charged me to do homework and practice. It wasn't a passive thing. It was something that I had to actively do. I did some things that I was very uncomfortable doing. However, once I got over the hump, I felt like a beast. Doing the hard things made me feel strong, made me feel powerful, and I knew I had that tool in my back pocket. And so that's where it started. And that was back in 2019 when I started. But continuing those practices over the years, going through the roller coasters and ebbs and flows of life, when tragedy hit, those were already my defaults. I didn't have to find and scuffle, and I wasn't in full despair. My heart was hurting, but I wasn't in full despair while I didn't exactly know what to do. I knew to allow people to help me. I knew to allow people to take care of my baby for me. I knew to allow people to. It's challenging. Now, when you are I-N-D-E-P-E-N-D-E-N-T, you know what I'm saying?
Really, literally.
It's very challenging to ask for help. But I've already flexed that muscle. I've already practiced building that muscle of being okay with asking for help, realizing I can't do it all by myself.
I want to stop you. Hold on. Because we got to pull. I got to pull.
Yeah, let's go.
So I think one of the things you said was it was already my default.
Yeah.
So this happened 2023, but you had been practicing it from 2019.
Yeah. In a strangest way, Roz, it just feels like the Lord had been training me for this day, this season. Like I had already been in boot camp. We joked a lot about being in the classroom. Hey, get me out the class.
Yeah, no, for real. Like I say all the time, guys, boot camp is not, you can't predict because you see the aftermath of why he does stuff or why he allows certain things to happen, but you don't see it in the interim. And so I think what you said, my heart was in despair, but this was already my default. There was an intentionality for you to practice. And I think the other thing, which happens a lot in faith spaces, there's a time I heard from Dr. Anita Phillips, and she says a lot of times in faith spaces, we do a lot of spiritual bypassing. Mm-hmm. And basically what that is, the definition, spiritual bypassing is a tendency to use spiritual ideas and practices to avoid facing unresolved emotional issues, psychological wounds, and unfinished developed tasks, which essentially can come from you experiencing this, he's in a better place, or you don't have to worry, God is going to take care of it, or you can pick up, and it's going to be okay, and God's going to take care. Like, we put so much on God, but we don't allow ourselves to then just sit in the presence of the emotion. And right. I think what you described was the practical ways you implemented not allowing yourself to avoid the emotion, but be present in it, feel it, be supported through it, which is oftentimes not everybody's story, and allow yourself to not sit in guilting yourself as a mom for letting people to help you with baby girl. Not guilting yourself for being like, I need time. Not guilting yourself for feeling as though you needed support or people around you, but allowing yourself to do that from the practices that you had already built.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely agree with that. I think that there is a space to trust God and that his word is true. But there is also a space to use the tools that he has entrusted to the therapist to teach us, to help us, and to guide us. He's given us all spiritual gifts, and in that there are practical things that you can do outside and in addition to praying. But, you know, faith without works is dead. We can believe all day long that God is going to rescue us. He's going to deliver. He's going to heal. He's going to do all of those things. However, faith without works is dead. There is work to do. There is work to do. When you want to be healed, there is work to do, like booking a therapist, booking grief counseling, or what I call joy counseling, booking time for yourself, being able to still set boundaries. Even in that time, I had to set boundaries and say, hey, no visitors today, or you guys stop by, or I need food today. Like, there are things and actions for you to take to be present in your healing.
I'm going to name all of those things that you just named because they're all characteristics that we tend to ignore. One that you described was community.
Yes.
In the early days of the church, they literally sold all of their goods to support each other. Literally, community was the lifeline. You talked about setting boundaries, asking. We don't talk about enough of just the value of asking. How can I know what I need or what you need if you don't ever ask me? How can I even identify if I don't take the chance to check in and to ask?
And there's an expectation there, too, that it can be unhealthy because we can blame other people for not being there for us when they don't even have the capacity to know how to be there for us because we didn't open our mouths and ask. Granted, you can be too weak to ask sometimes, but there are times when you do understand what you need, whether it is silence, a hug, you need someone to cry with you. You need somebody to, you're hungry. You need somebody to bring you food. There are some things that you do know.
Yeah, and I think that goes to a place of allowing yourself to be vulnerable and humble to receive it.
Absolutely. Because
it does take a lot of vulnerability to do that. And I also want to say, like, when you're seeing a therapist, I did a session today with one of my clients and we calculated how many hours she had been seeing me. And we came up with 75 hours. It was around the numbers. And I said, you have been spending 75 hours over the course of 2 years with me beating this problem. We've been processing this for 75 hours.
Wow.
Not even including the time outside of counseling. And so she has spent 75 hours practicing vulnerability on a consistent basis. And so to where now it's ingrained, she knows how to say, not all about that, because it's been practiced consistently. And I think what you're describing is you practice how to not only be vulnerable with yourself, but with others through a safe space of counseling and then also practicing outside of that space, too.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to practice it. Otherwise, you won't be ready when the worst of life happens. Mm-hmm. You have to put it into practice. There's really no, girl, there's no way around it. Yeah. Or you've got to see halfway to hell in a ditch somewhere.
Okay, so let's get into the book. Before we do, let's take a quick break to hear from one of our sponsors. Okay, so let's get into the book. I really want to hear about it. So tell us about The Mental Gym. How did you structure the book? And what is it that you ultimately want women to gain from the book and the practices that you teach?
So The Mental Gym is a spiritual workout journal.
Can we also pause for the call? Z is a marketing, like she thinks of these ideas. And I'm like, I don't even know how you come up with this stuff. The Mental Gym. And then the way you structured it is genius. But
it's the reward.
Thanks. Okay.
A while ago, we were on the phone or on FaceTime or something. And I randomly just told you, like, sis, I'm about to put myself in the mental gym. You were like, remember that? You were like, what is that? I said, I really don't know yet, but I'm just going to start writing like we used to do back in the day. And the strength of my faith and mind. Yeah, you remember that?
Yes.
That was like in 2022 because I was really struggling in my business and just working on feeling necessary in my business and what I did. I was struggling in that area. So I wanted to write affirmations to build my thought process, to build my thought around I am necessary. I have what is needed. And it worked. I decided to just comprise the tools in the mental gym. So the book is a spiritual workout journal to strengthen your faith and your mind. So it's combining faith with mental practical practices that I use to make sure that you are building your agility to bounce back from anything that life may throw at you. So the book is broken down into five what I call circuits. So the first circuit is going to be your nutrition guide. And in this section, it is filled with scriptures on any topic. One morning you may wake up and you just need to know what the Lord says about confidence. So you can always go to the page about confidence and read scripture about confidence and other topics like depression or family or wives or whatever it is. You can use the nutrition guide for that. And of course, it's the nutrition guide because God has commanded us to have our daily bread. The second section is the warm-up. So the warm-up is all about gratitude and worship. I just think it's so important to have a grateful heart and to worship God for what he's, who he is and what he's already done. And it just positions us to receive the best. And it positions us in a place where we look for the good. When you start thanking God for things, it makes you look for the good. And it makes it challenging to complain after that as well. So that's second circuit. The third circuit is going to be the reps. So the reps is really where the mental gym originated. And it's all about affirmations and your declaration. So back in the day when you got in trouble, you would do write-offs, or some people called it lines, where you would say, I will not talk, I will not talk, I will not talk. And the hope from that was that you would write it so much that you would believe it and you wouldn't talk no more in class. So we're just applying that same principle to things that we actually really need to hear. And in the season where the mental gym came to mind, I really needed to understand and hear that I was necessary. So I have pages in my 2022 journal that says, I am necessary. I am necessary. I wrote it until my fingers hurt. And I wrote it until that declaration started to form into something else. And so that's the area where you just constantly write until you believe. The fourth circuit is what I call lifting weights. And this is where you let God spot you through prayer and you lift your heavy burdens to God. And so this is just an area where you can pray and ask God for help. And I also included a tool called the feelings wheel, because sometimes you can't articulate exactly what you feel. And one of my pet peeves now that I've been through therapy is when people say, I feel some kind of way. Because that's not a feeling. And that's something my therapist used to get on me.
I can see your face. I wish you would just say what you're feeling.
Yeah, please. Get a wheel, girl. But in that wheel, you're able to identify exactly what you feel, whether that's loneliness, rejection, betrayal. And you can talk to God because he can handle your big feelings. He can handle what it feels like to be violated, to feel isolated. He can handle those big feelings. And so that is also there in this section as a resource as well. And then finally, the final circuit is the cool down. So the cool down is where you fill your cup with things that replenish you. And I always like to talk about this section and give an example that hanging out with your kids is not filling your cup if they're going to make you tired. By the time you change their diaper, fix their snack, play at the park, you come back and you're exhausted. That did not just fill your cup. We love the babies. Yes, we do. I love my daughter.
Yeah.
But there are times when dropping her off with my mom is more filling to my cup so that I can turn mommy brain off and take care of Z as a woman and not all of the other titles. Mm-hmm. So that is the gist of the book. And I'm really excited to get it in the hands of not just the women, but men as well. I've been hearing some great feedback about how helpful it is. And I think that it's going to be really impactful.
And what are you hoping for as you continue to talk about these practices, as you grow in sharing this, what do you feel will evolve for others? What do you feel like they will learn? What do you feel like they will gain?
I feel that others will look at life's challenges with their chest held high, with confidence. And even though it's a challenge, it's almost like when you have a one-up on somebody. While that situation may be challenging, because you have a one-up on them, you walk into that challenge differently. You have a different confidence. You have a different mindset. You have a different approach. And the enemy comes the same way every time. I don't care what the situation is. He's coming to steal your joy. He's coming to take your mind. He's coming to make you do anything that would distract you from the mission and the purpose that God has for you. But he's starting with your thoughts. If he can get in your thoughts and change your narrative and change your perspective and your viewpoint, then that's how he's winning. So by the time a person works through the mental gym, and note I say work through it because it's not a let me read it one time and never pick it up again. It's really a workout. I can't go to the gym day one and stand on a scale and think things have changed. I really have to implement this as a lifestyle, as a practice. So by the time you really have implemented this, I want you to feel confident that you have a one up on the enemy when he tries to attack you and your family, when he tries to attack you and your finances. You know that you can write down, I am the head and not the tail. Even if you have to write it 10 times, you know that you can be grateful that maybe you don't have everything that you want, but you can be grateful that you have everything that you need, that your bills are paid, that your children are well. When you can take captive your thoughts and cast down every imagination, yes, man, the enemy is upset. Oh, he's mad. And I just think that with this book, the enemy is about to be mad. And I love it because I can't stand him.
Period. I was, as you're talking, I'm thinking about something I remember we talked about. It was a couple of years ago. It was when you were working on your makeup school and you were trying to really figure out how to communicate confidence. And I think this is like that practical way to understand confidence practically. And when I think of confidence, I think of assurance.
Mm.
Like, I'm sure I can do my makeup. I'm sure I'm going to be able to work through this season. I'm sure that my kids are taken care of. I'm sure that, yes, today is rough, but next week won't be this way. I'm sure that every time that God has done something in the past for me, he can do it even presently. I'm sure that even though my bank account don't look the way I want it to look,
you better preach.
It can look the way it will look soon. Like, it's not, I'm sure it won't always be this way. And so I think confidence is assurance.
Yes, that's so good.
And we don't have to feel like assurance is not our portion.
Yeah.
But it does take having to practice working through, okay, what is making you not feel sure?
Yes.
And because I think that's what you're talking about with capturing the thought.
Yeah, absolutely. You have to acknowledge the thought. You know, in the affirmation section, I have an area that challenges you to think about the things that you could complain about. But I also challenge you not to speak them, not to give them power, but to turn it around and figure out how you can affirm in a positive way that things will be okay.
I tell you, when it comes to parenting, that'd be hard.
Listen,
I am in that season where I am catching myself saying, you gotta stop saying that. Okay, don't say that. Because of the constant sometimes life, but I'll just use parents for example of how quickly you can become dysregulated, how quickly you can just become frustrated and overwhelmed with the smallest thing that is literally out of control and having to catch yourself. It requires work. And I think it requires a level of awareness to do, which I think is part of the reason why we have to work on it, because if we're not aware, we're ignorant to what is actually coming our way.
Yes. And I think as you say awareness, it's really adding another hope for me concerning the book, that those who pick it up will increase their awareness. We do not sit still enough to be aware. And we end up bleeding on each other because we don't have awareness about where we are and what we need. So to be able to regulate and say, husband, I need some time so that I can regulate myself, or husband, I need some time with you so that I can feel connected, or saying, baby, sit down.
Listen,
mommy needs to breathe. Having that awareness.
Hey, we're going
to
be quiet while we're driving this car, which I did earlier today. We're quiet. We're not talking to each other.
But yeah.
Right now. And I think it's so different from what we saw growing up.
Yes.
Because there was an expectation to handle everything, and it was almost seen as a badge of honor. And yes. It's like, I didn't ask for this.
Hey, I don't want the training.
Hey, I don't work here. This is not the job I applied to. So can you take this badge? My name is not Sarah. No, that's your birth name.
That ain't my name. No, that's for real.
I didn't sign up for this job. And so it's not a badge of honor. to handle all of these things. And really,
right,
what is modeling is unhealthy boundaries. Pride is modeling. You feel like you have to be in control of everything. And so I think the book is going to help build awareness. I think it's going to give somebody action steps that work.
Yeah.
It's going to give someone an answer to something that they probably get pieces from social or books they've read or things that they've done in a way that's laid out easily to digest.
And I want to just pause and say thank you for writing the foreword. You did that without hesitation. And I'm going to say it is a beautiful foreword. And I want to say this too, because as a new author, I didn't know what that meant, you know. And the definition of a foreword is it is written by someone other than the author, and it tells the readers why they should read the book. And I think that Rosalind was the perfect person to write the foreword because she has literally walked beside me, and she adds credibility to the things that I can say, not just because she is a therapist, but because she has been hand in hand with me. And specifically, I just want to point out what you did for me, which was you wrote a note on my mirror, and I would look at that note every day. Yes, you did. You're just so kind. You don't even remember a lot of the things you do. But Rosalind wrote a note on my mirror just to encourage me during such a trying season. And it serves always as a reminder. It's still in my bathroom. It's all
right, sis.
I do remember
I was leaving your house one day. What did it say?
I'll have to send you a picture.
Okay.
But that note has encouraged me through one of the toughest seasons, but Rosalind has literally been a listening ear. She has been my confidant. And if anybody can tell you that this is real, Rosalind can tell you that this is real for me. This is not a joke. This is not anything that I play with. I'm very adamant about honing in on my joy and staying in a place that feels like the Lord wants me to be. I believe that God has joy as my portion, and I won't operate any other way.
No, for real. And I think that we have to, I think myself included has felt this a lot too, when we are digesting from people or we're learning or wanting so badly to be healed or crave that understanding of what that looks like, we can gravitate to people and sometimes be hurt in the interim or maybe still feel like it's not enough. And what I'll say is, you're right. I have seen Z walk this out in real time. And there are times I have scratch my head on what to say. I have thought to myself as her friend, am I doing enough to support her? Am I talking about stuff that is not related to what's happening enough so she can get her mind off of it? Or am I encouraging her enough? And I think for someone who's in a position of friendship and support, your most valuable tool is presence.
Yes.
Your most valuable tool is not making it about you.
Amen.
Okay.
Amen.
I'm making it about you.
Hey, say that for the people in the bed. Hey,
it's not about you. Okay. And there have been times where I have struggled and I will put the mask on to be available.
Yeah.
For my friend, because I understand, and this is taking a lot of therapy to understand healthy capacity. She didn't have the capacity to be there for me. Why would I do that? No.
And then a great question is, do you have the capacity?
Yeah. So I would ask her, do you have the capacity to listen to
me? We still ask each other, should
you
say?
Say, yeah, I listen.
Anything other than what I'm going through, please give me the news. Thank you.
And so I say, bringing that back to the original point, that it is walked out in real time.
Yeah.
And we are overcome by our testimony, and we are healed by hearing each other. And so I see Z as someone who's very integral, who would not put something out just because it's not that deep. There's other ways to make money.
Listen.
Okay. And so I think I say that to also say value that opinion and also understand that it's important. So in wrapping that up, thank you for the accolades and the flowers. I love
it. Absolutely, baby. Get these flowers while you can smell them.
I love you.
I love you too.
So just to wrap this up, I wanted to ask you a question. And using one of the tools from the book, because I've really learned this from you, how are you filling your cup up in this season?
Well, the number one way that I'm filling my cup up right now, because things are getting busier. So my baby is walking, and that means that I have to chase her a little bit more, play with her a little bit more. Her attention span is a little bit shorter, and I want to be present. And so honestly, routine, making sure that I'm still figuring out my routine now that things have, and I'm coming off of a lot of things. So I'm coming off of being pregnant. I'm coming off of having a baby. I'm coming off of
literally just the baby was not even a full month this time last year.
Yeah. So I'm really coming down off of a lot of experiences right now. So getting back to my routine and figuring out what that looks like with a toddler is different, but really focusing on my routine is huge for me. And then the second thing that's huge for me is surrounding myself with love, whatever that looks like. If I need to go to the club, I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to dance the night away. If I need to go to revival, I'm going. If I need to praise the night away, if I need just to go to the cookout, then I just want to be surrounded by love. If I need to cuddle with my baby, if I don't want to worry about her bedtime tonight and we just stay up and play, and that's something that's filling my cup. So being surrounded by love is so important for me. And then finally, most importantly, is going to joy counseling. I need that dedicated time and space to talk through the things that I am feeling, the things that I don't have time to process in such a busy world. I need time to sit down and hear my thoughts. And my therapist is so great. And she's in a position, because I do have tools to regulate, she's in a position to just listen. She's in a position to just guide me through my thoughts instead of rescuing me from my thoughts. And it's really a beautiful space for me. And I find value in being and having the time and space to share without judgment, without worrying if I'm dumping on my friend. But I'm dumping on someone who this is their job to receive.
Girl, you can dump. I don't care.
I'm not talking about you, Glenn.
Oh, it's not about me.
But those are three ways that I am filling my cup right now. And it has been a great work towards maintaining my joy.
Yeah. Last thing, and then we can wrap just for reference. And you said this earlier, but just as a reminder, joy counseling is her reframe for grief counseling.
Yes.
But also, she's still within the year of this and has already taken the step to be in counseling.
Immediately. It was important to me immediately.
And so I think that we have to also frame that even if these tools aren't being used now, they can be used another time and be sharpened in a different way. Because
Amen.
If not in the same season you were in 2019 to whenever you stopped counseling, you're in a different space. Yes, I have these tools, but hey, these tools aren't used for that. Can you help me use them? And I think that's just beautiful that you're getting to practice those things for yourself.
Absolutely.
Okay, so why don't we wrap up? Why don't you tell us where people, well, we'll tell the people, I know where you at. Tell the people where they can find you, where they can interact with you, connect with you on socials or anywhere else.
Fantastic. I am a hodgepodge of information all on my Instagram. I have makeup. I have books. I have all the things on my Instagram at Makeup by Z. And it's Z-I-I. Listen, this whole branding thing, you should have 12,000 pages for each separate thing. I'm not doing it. So find me at Makeup by Z, and it's Z-I-I on Instagram. You can visit Amazon.com. All you have to do is type in the search bar, the Mental Gym book. You can also put Z behind it and the Mental Gym book will pop up. I would love for you to get your copy. And then DM me on Instagram and let me know what you think about it.
Y'all, I will put all this information for you in the show notes, but also Z does an amazing thing every day called the gratitude train.
Oh, yeah.
Cast a gratitude, tag her. She will repost you. All of these things are ways that you can connect with her and share. So I love you, sis.
I will love you.
Y'all soon. And we'll be back with another episode soon. Bye.
Bye.
89% of business leaders say AI is a top priority. The right choice is crucial, which is why teams at one-third of Fortune 500 companies use Grammarly. Grammarly is the right AI assistant for your team. With top-tier security credentials and 15 years of experience in responsible AI, Grammarly is how companies like yours increase productivity while keeping data protected and private. See why 70,000 teams trust Grammarly at grammarly.com/enterprise.